If you have your Bibles, our call to worship today is 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. 1 John 1, 1 through 4. What was from the beginning? What we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Everything that we, who is the we? Well, it's John and the apostles. Everything that we have what seen and heard and looked at and touched concerning the word of life. What do you suppose the word of life is? Anybody? It's Jesus. Everything that we have seen about Jesus and heard about Jesus, they've shared with us and written it down. This text infers something. And infers that we're going to read it. And we're going to hear it. It's written down for us. What do you got to do with the text? Take it in your hands and use it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. We have come to worship you. I pray that your handiwork will be done in our lives today. Work in our minds and our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm not going to ask how many are believers here today, but are you glad that Jesus came to earth as a man and died for our sins? Can you say amen?
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, what we're going to do today, it's a lengthy text, so I'm going to read through it. Some of the verses I will be explaining more than others as we work through that. Romans chapter 7. And I'm going to read the entire text, and then we'll talk about the text as we go along. So keep your fingers in the text as we go. Verses 7 through 13. Romans 7, 7 through 13. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind. For apart from the law, sin is dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin became alive and I died. And this commandment, which was to result in life, proved to result in death for me. For sin, taking an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Therefore, did that which is good become a cause of death for me? May it never be. Rather, it was sin, in order that it might be shown to be sin by affecting my death through that which is good, so that through the commandment, sin would become utterly sinful. If I told you not to think of a pink elephant, what would you be thinking of? Probably a pink elephant, and you probably were thinking, he's going to ask me, what are you thinking about? So I'm going to push it out of my mind, but we can't, can we? Because all of a sudden, it's there in front of us, this pink elephant that we can't get rid of. Were you thinking of the pink elephant before I said, don't think of a pink elephant? No, so why all of a sudden are you thinking of a pink elephant? Because I mentioned it, and all of a sudden, it's there because I brought it to your attention. Our text today talks about something very similar to that. As Paul starts saying, he says, "For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, thou shalt not covet." Let's pray. Lord, we do pray that you will work in our hearts and our minds as we talk about the law today and about having a redeemer and about grace. We just thank you for this time. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, just follow along. Keep your fingers in Romans 7, and we'll be coming back and forth to that text. Let's start with verse 7. "What shall we say then? Is the law sin?" he says. "May it never be." And then he says, "On the contrary." Why would Paul say such a thing? Is the law sin? Well, let's step back a couple of verses to verses 5 and 6. It says, "For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions..." Now, while we were in the flesh, our sinful passions, which were aroused by the law, were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the spirit and not in oldness of the letter. We don't serve the law, we serve grace. We serve righteousness. Paul is simply saying here that our sinful passions, our lusts of our hearts, were made known to us through the law. They were made known to us. It's not until we heard the law that we became understanding of our need for a Savior. Those passions produced death in my life. They produced death. But if you are a slave, we talked about slaves for the last couple weeks, if you are a slave to righteousness, what does that produce? Life. And now you're free from death that comes from the life. So in verse 7, Paul simply asks the question, is the law sin? Because the law brings out the worst in us. Because if we didn't hear about the law, we were alive. But because we have heard the law, we now become dead. So it brings out the worst of us. So, and he answers his own question. He says, absolutely not. The law is not sin. And then he says, pay attention. Listen carefully. I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, do not covet. The law simply points it out to us. Points out our sin. Shows us our wicked way. It's sort of like saying, don't think about the pink elephant. And all of a sudden, we're thinking about a pink elephant. Do not covet. And all of a sudden, how many of you have ever bought a car that was sort of out of the ordinary, and all of a sudden, you see all kinds of them? Have you ever done that? Or you buy a blue color car, and all of a sudden, all the cars you see are blue. This is the same sort of thing. The law points us to our sin. And so we need to listen for that pink elephant. Listen to God's word. Verses 8 and 9, Romans 7, 8 and 9. But sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, producing in me coveting of every kind. For apart from the law, sin is dead. I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin became alive, and I died. I think it's interesting here that Paul uses the 10th commandment as his illustration. Can anybody tell me when the commandment, thou shalt not covet, was first used in the Bible? Not the commandment, but the disobeying of the commandment. Go way back. Adam and Eve. Genesis 3. Verses 1 through 16. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the beasts in the field, which the Lord had God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, 'You shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden you may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Listen to verse 6. "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to her eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave it to her husband with her as he ate." Do not covet, it says. And God has given Adam and Eve everything they need, and yet they saw the one tree in the middle of the garden, and they desired it. It looked good to them. After all, it was going to give them knowledge, quote unquote. And so what was the promise? If you disobeyed the law, sin and death followed. So what happens when we disobey the law, when we violate the law, we sort of accentuate it. It becomes alive in us, right? How many of you know what accentuate means? Accentuate means just make alive or make bigger. It becomes bigger than normal in our lives, and our hearts it becomes obvious in our hearts. So the problem is when we sin, we ignore our sin and it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, but we ignore it, and it becomes a huge problem in our life. I have worked for many, many different contractors in my life from way back. And they all have a little bit different way of doing things. I worked for this one guy, and his name was Woody. He was a contractor, and he was really a believer. He was a great guy, very talented in millworking. And I learned a very valuable lesson to him once. We had a situation where no matter what we did in remodeling, it was going to show that we added on. And so he said to me, he says, "Bruce, if you can't hide it, accentuate it. If you can't hide it, accentuate it. Make it look like it belongs there." Well, that's what happens when we hear God's word. It accentuates the problem. Not that it belongs there, because it doesn't, because it produces sin and death in our life, but the only way we're going to know about the situation or know about our sin is to actually hear it or to read it in God's word. Then we're forced to deal with the sin in our lives. Romans 10, 14 through 17 says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news and of good things.' However, they did not heed the good news, for Isaiah said, 'Lord, who has believed our report?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from what? The Word of God." It comes from the Word of God. God has called me, beyond a shadow of a doubt, to be a preacher. And it's simply my job to preach the good news so that we can hear the good news, and hopefully the good news what? Sinks in and develops head knowledge and hopefully gives us a heart transplant. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correcting, and training in righteousness." Why? So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. we hear God's word, hoping that it would transform our lives so that we are adequate for every good work that God has prepared in advance for us to do. Verses 10, 11, and 12. Romans 7, 10, 11, and 12. And this commandment, which was to result in life. You see, the commandment was given to us, why? To give us life. He told the Israelites, do this and you will live and prosper. Listen to what he says here. And this commandment, which was to result in life, proved to result in death for me. Why did it give death? And this commandment, which was to result in life, proved to result in death for me. For sin, taking an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. Listen to verse 12. So then the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. So here's the statement for today. Pay attention to this. This is the sad truth of the matter. The law is good and perfect. It's the sin in our life that brings the death. The law is good. It points to our heart condition. Deuteronomy 8, 1. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do that you may live, God tells the Israelites, and multiply, and go in and possess the land in which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. And then in verse 12, which we read, so then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous, and good. Let's look at the last verse, verse 13. Therefore, did that which is good become a cause of death for me? May it never be. Now listen very carefully. Rather, it was sin in order that it might be shown to be sin by effecting my death through that which is good. Listen very carefully now. So that through the commandment, sin became utterly sinful. The sin in our life was accentuated. It became great. How many sins do you need to do before you're a sinner? One. One sin. Before you need a redeemer. So the law pointing to our sin, helping us to realize that our sin sticks out like a sore thumb. What happens when you've got a sore thumb and it sticks out? You get it caught on stuff, right? And it starts to bleed all over again, or it hurts. If it's sprained, it starts hurting all over again. The sin in our life needs to stick out like a sore thumb so that we do something about it. We need to do something about it. It is accentuated. It grows, showing us that we are in absolute need of a Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 9:22, one of my favorite texts. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Do you trust Jesus? Put your hope in Him.